chapter 20. Someone very graciously pointed out to me that they're thankful to know it's going to be a short message tonight, because sermon notes are right here, and that's all the room you got to take notes. You can turn to the back page if you want, but I thought that was pretty good. Good reminder not to go too long tonight, right? Just a note of thanks for the protection that God gives. Brother Richard, did you suffer much damage Monday night? Yep. Our house is right behind the Christmas shop where Brother Richard works. And we had no damage. I'm thankful. Two of our neighbors had damage to their house. And it didn't look like extreme damage, but there was damage. And just to say, God's protection was very evident. And we're thankful for that. You just don't expect that kind of thing. I mean, it's been raining all day. A little wind, no lightning, no thunder. And all of a sudden, boom, this comes. Keeps life exciting, doesn't it? Numbers chapter 20. We can know how to do things the right way. And we can understand exactly what instructions are many times. And we can start to do it that way. But if we do it with the wrong attitude, and we do it with the wrong mindset, even though we may start by doing things the right way, it can lead us to do things in a way that will bring us to trouble. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. What happens when we don't do things like we should do them, when we know what we ought to do? Numbers chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we would die when our brethren died before the Lord! And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." Doesn't sound like they're very happy, does it? This is the time when the children of Israel have been told by God that because of their disbelief, when the spies were sent into the land, that they were going to stay 40 years in the wilderness. And that everyone over 20 years of age, was going to die and not go into the promised land. And so now they are at a point in time when they are checking off the days and the people as they go. Figures have been given that approximately 86 to 87,000 people per day had to die for all of them to die before they could go into the promised land. Can you imagine that? An average of 86,000 people a day dying so that God's judgment could be realized. And here they are in the wilderness, near Kadesh, near that place where the spies went into the land. And here they're going to be settling down. And Miriam dies. It's hard when a loved one dies, especially when you have someone as special to Moses and as special to the people as Miriam was. Miriam was one of those that was instrumental in the worship of the people. She led in a lot of the music. And she was used in a lot of different ways by God. And she died. She's one of those that had to die. And it happened. And then, to make matters worse, there was no water. Last week, I was in the Dominican Republic, and it's something that I've never really thought about, so it didn't bother me until I was there. They have gone 8 months without significant rain. 8 months without rain on an island nation in the middle of salt water, you don't have water that you need to have. And we were told, be as sparing as you can be because water is limited. We got there on a Wednesday night and they said, we just got word, we don't have any more water in our cistern here at the apartment building. We better get our showers tonight because we don't know when we'll see water again. So everybody hurried in, took a quick shower before all the water in the building was gone. They get their drinking water. They purchased their drinking water, so that wasn't going to be a problem. But they wanted to make sure there was enough water for the basics that we needed. Thursday morning, got up. They said, oh, the water truck came last night. We've got enough water for another couple of days. And then Saturday morning, I got up, take a shower, getting ready to go to the airport, and it was just a tiny little trickle. We ran out of water. But I was the first one, so I had a trickle before nobody else had any water. So, you know, I could be thankful for that. When there's no water, it is frustrating. It is hard. How can you make it without water? And the people are seeing others that are dying. They're in the wilderness. There's nothing there. All they have to eat is manna. Every morning, they gather the manna, and that's what they have for their food for that day. More manna. And now there's no water. And the Bible says that they gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron. They went to the leaders and they said, we got a word or two for you. And I find it interesting that the Bible says the people chode with Moses. They chided him. They let him hear exactly how they felt. Now, put yourself in Moses' shoes. How do you think he feels at a moment like this? His sister just recently died. He's mourning her loss. He knows there's no water, and now everybody is just griping and complaining, and we don't have what we want, and you said we were going to have this, but now we don't have anything that you said we were going to have, forgetting the fact that they didn't want to obey what God said to be able to get those things, but that's beside the point. We don't have what you said we're going to have. It's not right. It's not fair. And you better change the situation. Do you ever hear anything like that nowadays? It goes on. Verse 6 tells us that Moses and Aaron left the presence of the assembly, and they went to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. They knew that they couldn't stay by the people anymore. They'd heard what they had to hear, and they knew that they just couldn't stay anymore. So where did they go? They went where they could meet with God. They did the right thing. They went to God. And it tells us that God met with them. The glory of the Lord appeared unto them. God was going to meet with them. He was going to give them instruction. He was going to help them in this difficult situation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give to the congregation and their beasts strength. So God said, this is what you do. Get the people to come. You've got your rod in your hand. It's showing your leadership. It's showing the fact that you are the one that's in charge before the people. And I want you to look at that rock and I want you to say, water come forth, or whatever it is, the words that God had told him to say. He was to speak to that rock, and God said, I will give water. And they'll have everything that they need to have. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, doing everything just as God had told him to do. He knew the right thing to do. God had said, take the rod, gather the people before the rock, and speak to the rock. That's where Moses began to have a problem. He didn't speak to the rock. He spoke to the people. Look at verse 10. It says, he said to them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? He spoke to the people. And he took the rod, verse 11, and he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. He smote the rock, but God had said to speak to the rock. There was another time when he had already hit the rock, and God said, this time I want you to speak to the rock. Moses disobeyed. He did the right thing. He went to God in prayer. He went to see what God wanted him to do. He was looking to see, what direction should I go? There's no water. And God said, take your rod, get the people together, and from the rock speak to it, and I'll give water. And Moses spoke to the people, and he hit the rock. God still blessed. God still provided for the people. But God couldn't bless Moses in what he did. Because from that, he received judgment that he could not go into the promised land. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Moses was a man that believed God. He followed God. He did the things that God said to do almost all the time. But this time he didn't do it. And God had given him word that he was not going into the promised land. Look down with me at verse 23. It really bothered Moses. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. Lord, I know I acted like a spoiled brat. And I know I didn't do right. But
But would you be so gracious as to let me cross over and to see that land?
God answers in verse 26, "The Lord was wroth, angry with me for your sakes." Moses talking to the people, he was angry with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, "Let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah. Lift up thine eyes westward, northward, southward, and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see." So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor.
He begged God, "Please, please, will you let me have the opportunity to go over there?" I'm sure that he could have gone through the full list of everything that he had done. And God said, "That's it. I don't want to hear any more about it. Now, go up to Pisgah and look around. That's all you're going to get to see. Put an end to it." But Moses used this as a teaching tool for the people. Continuing on in chapter 4, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you." I want you to listen to what God is saying, please, because I'm telling you, God is serious when he tells us what we need to do. We better do it, because if we don't do it, he's going to take away his blessing. He's going to take away those good things that he wants to give us because we failed to obey. Don't disobey. Do this so that you can cross over into the promised land. And he warns them. If we look over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we find that all these things happened for our example. That God allowed what went on in the lives of the children of Israel so that we could learn our lessons today, if we'll pay attention. Because you see, God has given us clear commands in His Word. He has shown us what we need to do. He has guided us through His written word how we ought to walk in our daily Christian lives. And if we fail to do it, even if we're doing a good portion of it the right way, if we choose to do another part the way that we want to do it, God cannot bless us. God cannot give us those things that He wants to give us. God desired that the entire nation of Israel would cross into that promised land. That was His plan. Oh no, we can't do that. There's giants over there, and look at these grapes. Aren't they great? And the land flows with milk and honey. It is just wonderful. But, we can't go over there. It's a little dangerous. And God said, fine, don't go. Everyone 20 and above is going to die. And when you die, all the youngins are going to be able to go into the land. God told Moses, speak to the rock. He hit the rock. And God said, you're not going in. God will punish us for those sins in our lives that we insist are the right way when God says it's the wrong way. And that judgment will keep us from receiving those good things that God wants to give us, because God cannot honor disobedience. And that is a lesson that's being given to us very clearly as an example. how are we going to apply that to our lives? Well, tonight I want to take it just in one direction. God has given us clear instruction that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That we are to be willing to give out the gospel so that others can know Jesus Christ. And you know what? Our folks here at church are being faithful that way this year. We are getting regular reports of people who are accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm thankful for that. The most recent one, for those who haven't heard, you know that Heather, now Osband, got married to Joe last Friday night. And there was a young lady by the name of Angela who had been an exchange student in their home, who was living up in New York City, who came down for the wedding. And she heard what was going on during the wedding, the presentation and everything. And Saturday morning, Bill and Brenda were taking her back to the airport to fly home. And Brenda was talking with her. And Brenda had the privilege in that car ride up to the airport to lead her to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's exciting! How God can use a wedding to bring somebody to Christ. But that's the faithfulness that we're seeing in our people, that God is working. I'm excited about that. But you know, that doesn't mean everybody is. And it's a challenge to us to be sure that we are faithfully giving out the gospel. But not only that factor, we need to consider what is it that God would want us to do beyond just our own personal evangelization right here in the Outer Banks. Because there's a world that needs to be reached. If we think that our supporting financially some missionary families relieves us of our responsibility in the area of missions, I think we're mistaken. Because there's more than that that God wants from us. God is not wanting just a token offering. And some people, percentage-wise, give more than others. Doesn't matter. The point is, I think God still wants more from us. There are those who go, and there are those who stay. And that's what God does. He doesn't call everybody to go to the mission field. But of the stayers, are we senders? Or are we just stayers? Let me define my terms. A stayer is somebody who, I don't have to go. So God didn't call me, I'm free and clear. A sender is somebody who says, what can I do to help the work of missions? Yes, I'll give, but what else can I do to help the work of missions? And they look for ways that they can have a part in the ministry. They look for some things like possibly writing a letter of encouragement. And no, you don't have to mail it. You can send it electronically. And if you don't have email and you don't know how to use the computer, it's all right. We can help you either send it electronically or we can even help you send it by snail mail. The point is, we can still do that kind of thing. We need to find out what kind of things the missionaries need. We need to be an encouragement to our missionaries as senders, because it's more than just sending money. We need to pray for them like we've never prayed before. Jonathan Facenda has put up several prayer requests recently on Facebook. And I know not everybody is on Facebook and not everybody may be a friend of Jonathan. But Jonathan has said that they are feeling an influence in the work that they're doing that is beginning to pull people away from the church. One man that they've been working with in particular has become very agitated and disturbed in his spirit to where he doesn't even want to come to church anymore, because every time he comes to church, he gets all upset. That's because God's working in his heart. We need to pray for that man, that God will continue to work and that he will give himself to Jesus Christ. and that Jonathan will have the privilege of continuing to work with him. We've got other missionaries that have things going on. We need to know what's going on so we can properly pray for them, because that's our responsibility. We need to seek ways that we can help them. And I'm going to challenge some of you folks to think about something. Have you considered seeing what you might be able to do by going to the field and helping them for a period of time? Have you considered taking a trip to see what is going on and seeing what you can do with them in the ministry? You can get a little vacation in on while you're there, but it makes a difference. We had a family come and visit us from our sending church in South Carolina when we were in Brazil. Their kids were about the same age as our girls, and they came down on a family vacation. They just said, "We want to see what's going on. Don't change your activities for us." I said, "Well, we're going to change things a little bit because we want to do some fun stuff with you too." "Yeah, that's fine. We can't speak the language. We understand that. But we want to see what you do." And we're able to show them. God used that to call their son into full-time ministry. He's graduating from Bible college this week, and he has a position as a youth pastor out in Colorado, and God is already opening doors for him. Because his mom and dad were willing to be senders and go beyond just staying. What I'm trying to do is plant seeds of thought. Challenge your thinking. As God has things that he wants to give you and to bless you with, but he can't do it if we're not willing to take those steps of faith and to obey him and do what he tells us to do. Moses suffered because he didn't do what he knew he should do. And I pray that God would help us to do those things that we know we need to do for his honor and glory. Father, help us tonight to give ourselves to do the work that you have put in our hands, be it here at Stillwaters, for our visitors where they live, as we look beyond to see what we could do to reach our world. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, that we would be the people that you can use. Father, help us not to just know what we ought to do and start to do it but not complete it, or to change it and do it our way instead of your way. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to be obedient all the way, and that you would be pleased with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.